It's another beautiful Saturday morning in CCU land when we have a bit of a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Jack Farrell. Hi, Jack. Good morning.
Good morning, Denny. How are you this bright and beautiful morning?
I'm like the weather. I'm feeling so good, and how could you not on a day like this? I hope you are, too.
Amen. I am just in the same shoes you are. Glorious. Looking forward to the rest of this terrific day.
Absolutely.
Today, I thought we'd talk about the fastest-growing segment of the wine business. It's just incredible. And no, it's not Napa Cabernet, and it certainly isn't the beautiful white wines of New Zealand. It's rosé wine, and it's on fire. And there's a good reason for that, too. You know, rosé is a type of wine that incorporates its color from the grape skins. And there's not a wine-producing area almost anywhere that incorporates its color from the grape skins. And there's not a wine-producing area almost anywhere in the world that doesn't make a little rosé wine. And the color can range from a pale onion skin quality to almost a deep red, like you're drinking red wine. It just is a remarkable type of wine to drink. And believe me, it isn't just for the ladies. Rosé is really, and I always tell guys that drink red wine and wouldn't touch rosé to try Tavel. Tavel is a wine produced in the Rhone Valley. All they produce in Tavel is rosé, and it is a wine that is made for red wine drinkers because it's a very hearty and robust rosé. And again, it's Tavel, T-A-V-E-L, and it, believe me, is one of the best rosés in the entire world. I remember my first introduction to it, Kathy and I, it's over 50 years ago now, were taking a few days off in the Mediterranean and sitting by the beach in a cabana. We ordered a salad niçoise for lunch, and the waiter said, "Well, you must have Tavel with it." I never had it. Why not? And I discovered Tavel. And boy, oh boy, what a wonderful relationship that has been. I think Tavel is one of my go-to wines for a hot summer day. I'm going with almost anything. And you know, a niçoise salad isn't the easiest dish to pair a wine with, but Tavel was made to go for it, believe me. But even having said that and being a fan of Tavel and everything else, about 25 years ago, Sasha Lachine, Alexis Lachine's son, came up to me at a meeting and said, "John, I'm about to introduce a $100 bottle of rosé." I said, "Sasha, you're nuts." And he said, "Come on." He says, "It's time for that wine to be discovered." I said, "No one's going to pay. We're so used to inexpensive rosés, no one will pay that kind of money." Well, 2 years ago, Sasha sold his company to Louis Vuitton for about $350 million, and he still kept, I think, 25% of the company. So who's laughing now? He is, of course. He was way ahead of his time. And rosé started out, in this country anyway, on a kind of a crooked path. Right after World War II, all those servicemen who'd gone over to Europe saw people drinking wine every day, and they started to do it themselves a little bit. And they, when they got home, what kind of wine would the whole family like? And there happened to be two producers in Portugal, Matus and Alianca. And boy, I'll tell you, those wines sold millions and millions of cases in the United States. But the wines were decidedly a little on the sweet side. And if you get Matus or Alianca or the Ups, Hublines, entry into that market was something called Lancers. Those three rosés, Lancers and Alianca, came in clay bottles. Matus came in a Buchs bottle, like from Germany, a round-shaped bottle. And they were what everyone drank, those Matus, Alianca, Lancers. And they were decidedly sweet. And but that's what you got when you go out for dinner someplace. They might have Matus or Alianca on the wine list. They certainly didn't have anything else. And that isn't that long ago. We're talking in the early 70s, so it's only 50 years ago. So there's been an explosion in rosé wines in the last few years, and there's a good reason for it. You know, after that Matus and Aliancas out in California, they introduced something called White Zinfandel. It was a way to get rid of all the Zinfandel plantings. They had too much red wine, and they took some off the top and sold it as White Zinfandel Rosé. It was pink, and again, decidedly sweet, but it introduced hundreds of thousands of people to rosé wine or blush wines, whatever you want to call them. When they make rosé, it's made only three ways. Skin contact, and this is the most popular one. Most of the really good rosés in the world are made from red wine grapes. And so when they leave it in contact for a while with the skins is when it gets its color. It really, a rosé is probably the first kind of wine that they made, because when they made years ago wine, they never, the idea of keeping the grapes and the skins and the pips and all that together for a long time just was unheard of. So the wines would come out light. The most popular clarets, in fact, the claret is how clear it is, and that became the name of Bordeaux's in England, because they were almost like a rosé. They certainly weren't very deep in color. But anyhow, that's one way of making skin contact. The next is called Sagny. And Sagny is bleeding in French, and that's when you bleed the wine off the top. To intensify the wine you're making, what do you do with that juice you've taken off the top? Well, it's usually a little pink, so you make a rosé out of it. Sagny. And then last is blending. This is hardly done at all, where they mix red wine and white wine to come up with a rosé wine. That just isn't really done anywhere. And the wines that are produced today in rosé are just absolutely luscious. In fact, it's become so popular that, as I said earlier, there isn't a single area of the wine world where they don't make rosé wine. And to prove the point, in Champagne, the most expensive champagne you can get is Champagne Rosé. You know, while you might want a bottle of Dom Perignon or Louis Roederer Crystal, those are a couple hundred dollars a bottle for the champagne in there. You want to spend some money, add another $50 or $60, and you can get Dom Perignon Rosé or Cristal Rosé. And the reason is those rosés are just incredible. And in fact, maybe, as I said, almost every area in the world that produces wine produces rosés. So the wonderful adventure to lie ahead to try all these different wines is really wonderful. And of course, French rosés are kind of the mother lode of all the rosés. As a matter of fact, one of the most popular areas for rosé is an area in France called Provence. And Provence is just a beautiful area, fields of lavender. If you've never been there and you have an opportunity to go to France, I'd suggest a few days in Provence. It's the area also that's Mediterranean. The food is Mediterranean in style. The lifestyle is Mediterranean. And it's really a wonderful place to visit. And those Provence rosés are the most popular rosés in France. And the reason being is they're the driest, I think. And, you know, that's where all the celebrities go. George Clooney is making a Provence rosé. Brad Pitt and his ex-wife, Jolie, had a vineyard there and made wines. Fun to own those. Fun to have a reason to go and stay there, those lovely chateaux, etc. And Provence is the largest area in France producing rosés. About 70% of the production of Provence is rosé. They make white and they make red wine too, but the real winner for the whole area is Provence rosés. And they're just absolutely luscious. Then, as I said, there's Tavel, which is in the Rhone Valley, still Mediterranean in style. The Provence and Tavel rosés are the driest in the rosé wine business. That's hardly any sweetness to them at all. If you like a sweet wine, the rosés of the Loire Valley, particularly Rosé d'Anjou. Anjou is an area, little town, in the Loire Valley. And as a matter of fact, Anjou. We get Anjou pears from there. And the rosé from Anjou is really just a delicious, delicious rosé. It's a little on the sweeter side, so it's more accessible, if you will, to especially new people who are just getting into wine, and they like a little softness. And, you know, it isn't overly sweet. I'd say it's got a very soft edge to it, and it's easily and more accessible than some of the more stringent areas where they produce rosé in France. The Languedoc is another area that produces some remarkable rosés that are, again, like the Rhone Valley and like Provence, a little on the drier side. But France isn't, of course, the only place that produces rosés that you're going to enjoy. Italy produces an enormous amount of rosé, as does Spain. And those are very good and interesting to try. And, of course, Portugal makes other wines besides Matus and Alianca, which are kind of sweet. The other wines they make are drier and more interesting. Germany, Austria, Switzerland, all of those places produce wonderful rosés. In fact, there's a wine in Switzerland that's called Eye of the Partridge because the pink color of the rosé is about the same as the color of the eye of a partridge. And it's a beautifully named wine, and it happens to be a beautiful wine, very enjoyable, and certainly worth seeking out. But our own country here, some of the wonderful rosés that we're producing and the discoveries, I have one wine that's a recent discovery of mine called Chateau Fazi, F-A-Z-I, and it's from Corsica. And I just would hold it up to almost any rosé. It's inexpensive, but it happens to be delicious, very straightforward, easy to like. The New World rosés that come from California and Oregon and the state of Washington, as well as places like Chile and Argentina, New Zealand, Australia, you can get a rosé from any of those places. And I urge you to do so because, again, rosé isn't just for ladies' afternoon tea. It's a wonderful wine. I particularly like a rosé on a hot day as an aperitif before dinner. It's just wonderful. And one of those wines like Fazi, which is Corsican, we haven't even talked about Corsican wines in a long time, but it's a wonderful wine, and it's very fairly priced. And rosés mostly are fairly priced. I mean, it's interesting to me. For years, New Zealand didn't produce anything but fortified wine, and then the explosion in Sauvignon Blanc. And now you can get rosés from New Zealand that are absolutely delicious and very unique, as you can from almost, as I started this out, almost any country in the world produces wonderful rosés. And believe me, a glorious day like today, before your lunch or brunch or dinner, an aperitif of a rosé wine, whether it be from France or Germany or California or New Zealand, wonderful wine to try and take you on a new adventure in the wine world when you can really sit back and enjoy these rosés. They're all as different and unique as could possibly be. You can't just lump them and say, I can't drink rosé. Try it. Believe me, if I had you with me, I could find a rosé that you'd absolutely love because there's so many of them, and they really are delicious. In fact, speaking of rosés, Ted Farrell has put together a 6 for 60, a start to the summer, and what a glorious day to do that on. And, of course, we'll start off with that. He's got in there Fog Mountain Rosé, which is a California rosé, absolutely delicious. You just can't imagine for $10 a bottle, 6 bottles of wine for $60, $10 a bottle. He's got in there Cassafarelli Pinot Grigio. That's our own Pinot Grigio from Italy. Just a delicious wine, great aperitif wine also. Fourdon Chardonnay from the vast midi portion of France. Fog Mountain Rosé. Spice Block Malbec. If you're having ribs or something, it's a wonderful Malbec. Very modestly priced. Windstorm Zinfandel, I don't know why that wine isn't about $20 a bottle, but Ted put it in the 6 for $60, and it is a delicious Zinfandel. Windstorm. Create a windstorm of your own and try some of that Windstorm Zinfandel with burgers on the grill. It'll be delicious. And lastly, Provenera Cabernet Sauvignon. Provenera makes my favorite Pinot Noir for everyday drinking because it's modestly priced. But here you got these wonderful start to summer, 6 for $60, available at all the Haskell stores, as well as all these wonderful rosés you can pick up at any Haskell store near you.
Absolutely, and there are many of them and great folks to help you out.
And thank you, Denny. They love to talk about wine at Haskell's. They love to pair wine. And whether you want to buy 6 bottles for $60 and have a start to summer cellar, or you just want to buy one bottle to have with dinner tonight, stop in and see the folks at Haskell's. Tell them what you're going to prepare, what your budget is, and I guarantee you they'll fix you up with a good wine that'll come within your budget and please your palate. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. Haskell's in Bloomington, that'll come within your budget and please your palate. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. Haskell's in Bloomington, Excelsior. There's a Haskell's in Faribault, right off of 35. Maple Grove Super Cellar, not to be missed. 22,000 square feet of wines from around the world. And over 300 rosés. Downtown Minneapolis, we have free parking on Saturday and Sunday. There's a Haskell's at Ridgedale, a Haskell's in Plymouth, St. Paul's Highland Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com. And don't forget, we do deliver.
Absolutely. Jack, let's join up next week.
I'm going to look forward to that, Denny.
Thanks very much, Jack Farrell from Haskell's. It's another beautiful Saturday morning in CCU land when we have a bit of a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Jack Farrell. Hi, Jack. Good morning.
Good morning, Denny. How are you this bright and beautiful morning?
I'm like the weather. I'm feeling so good. And how could you not on a day like this? I hope you are, too.
Amen. I am just in the same shoes you are. Glorious. Looking forward to the rest of this terrific day.
Absolutely.
Today I thought we'd talk about the fastest growing segment of the wine business. It's just incredible. And no, it's not Napa Cabernet, and it certainly isn't the beautiful white wines of New Zealand. It's rosé wine, and it's on fire. And there's a good reason for that, too. You know, rosé is a type of wine that incorporates its color from the grape skins. And there's not a wine-producing area almost anywhere that incorporates its color from the grape skins. And there's not a wine-producing area almost anywhere in the world that doesn't make a little rosé wine. And the color can range from a pale onion skin quality to almost a deep red, like you're drinking red wine. It just is a remarkable type of wine to drink. And believe me, it isn't just for the ladies. Rosé is really, and I always tell guys that drink red wine and wouldn't touch rosé to try Tavel. Tavel is a wine produced in the Rhone Valley. All they produce in Tavel is rosé, and it is a wine that is made for red wine drinkers because it's a very hearty and robust rosé. And again, it's Tavel, T-A-V-E-L. And it, believe me, is one of the best rosés in the entire world. I remember my first introduction to it, Kathy and I, it's over 50 years ago now, were taking a few days off in the Mediterranean and sitting by the beach in a cabana. We ordered a salad niçoise for lunch, and the waiter said, "Well, you must have Tavel with it." I never had it. Why not? And I discovered Tavel. And boy, oh boy, what a wonderful relationship that has been. I think Tavel is one of my go-to wines for a hot summer day of going with almost anything. And you know, a niçoise salad isn't the easiest dish to pair a wine with, but Tavel was made to go for it, believe me. But even having said that and being a fan of Tavel and everything else, about 25 years ago, Sasha Lachine, Alexis Lachine's son, came up to me at a meeting and said, "John, I'm about to introduce a $100 bottle of rosé." I said, "Sasha, you're nuts." And he said, "Come on." He says, "It's time for that wine to be discovered." I said, "No one's going to pay. We're so used to inexpensive rosés, no one will pay that kind of money." Well, 2 years ago, Sasha sold his company to Louis Vuitton for about $350 million, and he still kept, I think, 25% of the company. So who's laughing now? He is, of course. He was way ahead of his time. And rosé started out, in this country anyway, on a kind of a crooked path. Right after World War II, all those servicemen who'd gone over to Europe saw people drinking wine every day, and they started to do it themselves a little bit. And they, when they got home, what kind of wine would the whole family like? And there happened to be two producers in Portugal, Matus and Alianca. And boy, I'll tell you, those wines sold millions and millions of cases in the United States. But the wines were decidedly a little on the sweet side. And if you get Matus or Alianca or the Ups, Hublin's entry into that market was something called Lancers. Those three rosés, Lancers and Alianca, came in clay bottles. Matus came in a Buchs bottle, like from Germany, a round-shaped bottle. And they were what everyone drank, those Matus, Alianca, Lancers. And they were decidedly sweet. And but that's what you got. When you go out for dinner someplace, they might have Matus or Alianca on the wine list. They certainly didn't have anything else. And that isn't that long ago. We're talking in the early 70s, so it's only 50 years ago. So there's been an explosion in rosé wines in the last few years, and there's a good reason for it. You know, after that Matus and Alianca out in California, they introduced something called White Zinfandel. It was a way to get rid of all the Zinfandel plantings. They had too much red wine, and they took some off the top and sold it as White Zinfandel Rosé. It was pink and, again, decidedly sweet, but it introduced hundreds of thousands of people to rosé wine or blush wines, whatever you want to call them. When they make rosé, it's made only three ways. Skin contact, and this is the most popular one. Most of the really good rosés in the world are made from red wine grapes. And so when they leave it in contact for a while with the skins is when it gets its color. It really, a rosé is probably the first kind of wine that they made, because when they made years ago wine, they never, the idea of keeping the grapes and the skins and the pips and all that together for a long time just was unheard of. So the wines would come out light. The most popular, Clarets. In fact, the Claret is how clear it is, and that became the name of Bordeaux's in England, because they were almost like a rosé. They certainly weren't very deep in color. But anyhow, that's one way of making skin contact. The next is called Sanyi. And Sanyi is bleeding in French. And that's when you bleed the wine off the top. To intensify the wine you're making, what do you do with that juice you've taken off the top? Well, it's usually a little pink, so you make a rosé out of it. Sanyi. And then last is blending. This is hardly done at all, where they mix red wine and white wine to come up with a rosé wine. That just isn't really done anywhere. And the wines that are produced today in rosé are just absolutely luscious. In fact, it's become so popular that, as I said earlier, there isn't a single area of the wine world where they don't make rosé wine. And to prove the point, in Champagne, the most expensive champagne you can get is Champagne Rosé. You know, while you might want a bottle of Dom Perignon or Louis Roederer Crystal, those are a couple hundred dollars a bottle for the champagne in there. You want to spend some money, add another $50 or $60, and you can get Dom Perignon Rosé or Cristal Rosé. And the reason is those rosés are just incredible. And in fact, maybe as I said, almost every area in the world that produces wine produces rosé. So the wonderful adventure to lie ahead to try all these different wines is really wonderful. And, of course, French rosés are kind of the mother load of all the rosés. As a matter of fact, one of the most popular areas for rosé is an area in France called Provence. And Provence is just a beautiful area, fields of lavender. If you've never been there and you have an opportunity to go to France, I'd suggest a few days in Provence. It's the area also that's Mediterranean. The food is Mediterranean in style. The lifestyle is Mediterranean, and it's really a wonderful place to visit. And those Provence rosés are the most popular rosés in France, and the reason being is they're the driest, I think. And, you know, that's where all the celebrities go. George Clooney is making a Provence rosé. Brad Pitt and his ex-wife, Jolie, had a vineyard there and made wine. Fun to own those. Fun to have a reason to go and stay there, those lovely chateaux, etc. And Provence is the largest area in France producing rosés. About 70% of the production of Provence is rosé. They make white and they make red wine too, but the real winner for the whole area is Provence rosés. And they're just absolutely luscious. Then, as I said, there's Tavel, which is in the Rhone Valley, still Mediterranean in style. The Provence and Tavel rosés are the driest in the rosé wine business. They're not hardly any sweetness to them at all. If you like a sweet wine, the rosés of the Loire Valley, particularly Rosé d'Anjou. Anjou is an area, little town, in the Loire Valley. And as a matter of fact, Anjou, we get Anjou pears from there, and the rosé from Anjou is really just a delicious, delicious rosé. It's a little on the sweeter side, so it's more accessible, if you will, to especially new people who are just getting into wine, and they like a little softness. And, you know, it isn't overly sweet. I'd say it's got a very soft edge to it, and it's easily and more accessible than some of the more stringent areas where they produce rosé in France. The Languedoc is another area that produces some remarkable rosés that are, again, like the Rhone Valley and like Provence, a little on the drier side. But France isn't, of course, the only place that produces rosés that you're going to enjoy. Italy produces an enormous amount of rosé, as does Spain. And those are very good and interesting to try. And, of course, Portugal makes other wines besides Matus and Alianca, which are kind of sweet. The other wines they make are drier and more interesting. Germany, Austria, Switzerland, all of those places produce wonderful rosés. In fact, there's a wine in Switzerland that's called Eye of the Partridge because the pink color of the rosé is about the same as the color of the eye of a partridge. And it's a beautifully named wine, and it happens to be a beautiful wine, very enjoyable, and certainly worth seeking out. But our own country here, some of the wonderful rosés that we're producing and the discoveries. I have one wine that's a recent discovery of mine called Chateau Fazi, F-A-Z-I, and it's from Corsica. And I just would hold it up to almost any rosé. It's inexpensive, but it happens to be delicious, very straightforward, easy to like. The New World rosés that come from California and Oregon and the state of Washington, as well as places like Chile and Argentina, New Zealand, Australia. You can get a rosé from any of those places, and I urge you to do so because, again, rosé isn't just for ladies' afternoon tea. It's a wonderful wine. I particularly like a rosé on a hot day as an aperitif before dinner. It's just wonderful. And one of those wines like Fazi, which is Corsican, we haven't even talked about Corsican wines in a long time, But it's a wonderful wine, and it's very fairly priced. And rosés mostly are fairly priced. I mean, it's interesting to me. For years, New Zealand didn't produce anything but fortified wine, and then the explosion in Sauvignon Blanc. And now you can get rosés from New Zealand that are absolutely delicious and very unique, as you can from almost, as I started this out, almost any country in the world produces wonderful rosés. And believe me, a glorious day like today, before your lunch or brunch or dinner, an aperitif of a rosé wine, whether it be from France or Germany or California or New Zealand, wonderful wine to try and take you to on a new adventure in the wine world when you can really sit back and enjoy these rosés. They're all as different and unique as could possibly be. You can't just lump them and say, I can't drink rosé. Try it. Believe me, if I had you with me, I could find a rosé that you'd absolutely love because there's so many of them, and they really are delicious. In fact, speaking of rosés, Ted Farrell has put together a 6 for 60, a start to the summer, and what a glorious day to do that on. And, of course, we'll start off with that. He's got in there Fog Mountain Rosé, which is a California rosé, absolutely delicious. You just can't imagine for $10 a bottle, 6 bottles of wine for $60, $10 a bottle. He's got in there Casafiorelli Pinot Grigio. That's our own Pinot Grigio from Italy. Just a delicious wine, great aperitif wine also. Fourdon Chardonnay from the vast Midi portion of France. Fog Mountain Rosé. Spice Block Malbec. If you're having ribs or something, it's a wonderful Malbec. Very modestly priced. Windstorm Zinfandel. I don't know why that wine isn't about $20 a bottle, but Ted put it in the 6 for 60, and it is a delicious Zinfandel. Windstorm. Create a windstorm of your own and try some of that Windstorm Zinfandel with burgers on the grill. It'll be delicious. And lastly, Provenera Cabernet Sauvignon. Provenera makes my favorite Pinot Noir for everyday drinking because it's modestly priced. But here you got these wonderful start to summer, 6 for 60, available at all the Haskell stores, as well as all these wonderful rosés you can pick up at any Haskell store near you.
Absolutely, and there are many of them and great folks to help you out.
And thank you, Denny. They love to talk about wine at Haskell's. And they love to pair wine. And whether you want to buy 6 bottles for 60 and have a start to summer cellar, or you just want to buy 1 bottle to have with dinner tonight, stop in and see the folks at Haskell's. Tell them what you're going to prepare, what your budget is, and I guarantee you they'll fix you up with a good wine that'll come within your budget and please your palate. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. Haskell's in Bloomington, that'll come within your budget and please your palate. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. Haskell's in Bloomington, Excelsior. There's a Haskell's in Faribault, right off at 35. Maple Grove Super Cellar, not to be missed. 22,000 square feet of wines from around the world. And over 300 rosés. Downtown Minneapolis, we have free parking on Saturday and Sunday. There's a Haskell's at Ridgedale, a Haskell's in Plymouth, St. Paul's Highland Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com. And don't forget, we do deliver.
Absolutely. Jack, let's join up next week.
I'm going to look forward to that, Denny.
Thanks very much, Jack Farrell from Haskell's.